Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, son! One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating. Get it?
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Cypher, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Peter? You look like you had a fantastic vacation.
Do I? If you look really close to me right now, I look more like with Tom Hanks when he comes home at the end of Castaway.
You mean the middle of Castaway?
Sorry, that's, well, it's like 65, 70% of the way into Castaway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good amount of movie after he gets home.
Yeah, probably a little too much, to be honest with you. Because
too much, you think?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, but she kept the Jeep for him.
I know, but
the Jeep Cherokee in the garage for him.
I know, but she's moved on now.
How does that feel? Your new wife keeps her dead ex-husband's car in the garage. You're like, I want to park my fucking Benz in there. Like, we have so many trees in the driveway. These birds are shitting all over my Benz. I can't even keep the top down. Can you move this fucking raggedy Jeep out of the garage?
Now, how many years had he been gone?
It wasn't long enough for her to be remarried.
Mm-hmm.
I understand in our new relationship, but married? I think he was gone 3 years, maybe four.
Well, listen, okay. If it's four, I think that's enough time. Because she was mourning for they were still hoping he'd show up for probably 3-4 months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then she mourned him hard for a year. Hard.
Okay.
Bad year.
Did they ever say how she met this guy?
No, but I can tell you. She went out one night with her friends. They convinced her to go out to like the local restaurant just to at least have a drink and some wings.
Right. Little bar, actually. Little karaoke night.
And she's like, she's getting drunk. She's half crying, but she's drinking. Yeah. And before you know it, she's ending up singing karaoke. Right. And she gets up and she does I Don't Know Much by Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville.
Ooh, wow.
For karaoke.
Deep cut.
And as she's doing it,
yeah,
she's doing the Ronstadt part,
right?
And this new dude shows up and hits the Neville part.
Ooh!
And so they have this moment, and then 15 minutes later, he's just dicking her down in the back.
No,
that's right. She's drunk.
No, she's not drunk. Made out, maybe.
Okay, fine. You're right. That's too aggressive.
Made out, but not dicking her down.
And then, like, but they got married quick. Like, you know, and then 6 months later, I said,
she told him everything, right? lost my husband in a horrible accident. Oh, yeah. You know what? He probably lost his wife too. He was a widower.
Is that true?
They commiserated. I don't know if it's true. Oh,
could be true.
They commiserated. You know what I mean?
How about this? What if the guy also worked for FedEx because it's in Memphis?
See, that's where I always thought she probably knew him already.
And so he's like, what if he started creeping the second he heard Tom Hanks was gone?
That's what I think it was. I think it was creepy. Like, he was already like eyeballing her before Tom Hanks was gone.
So he starts showing up, just being like, hey, how you been? Just want to check in. We miss him so much. What
there was some packages
guy.
Down at the depot. I just figured I'd bring them down myself.
Yeah. And while I'm here, give your undercarriage a little how's your father. Anyways, yeah. By the way, this is not the first time Castaway came up. The other day, we were sitting at a cafe in Cuba, and there was this couple. It was a group of four people speaking English next to us, and they were talking about Tom Hanks movies. And
that's a perfect double couple vacation conversation.
So, Big was really good. And Forrest Gump, I mean, oh, that's got to be number one. What was that other one? The one where he, the boat, the plane, it was shipwrecked? Was it shipwrecked?
No.
And then one of them starts trying to reference the I'm the captain now.
Captain Phillips.
Someone starts trying to ref, but they don't know the name either. But they're confusing now between Castaway and Captain Phillips. Right. And they're going, what's it called? Shipwreck. And Natalie and I are staring at each other as this is happening. And Natalie's like, do it. And I came through the peer pressure and I was like, Castaway, guys, Castaway. And they were like, oh, thank you. Meanwhile, this same couple, before the Castaway conversation, was having a crazy, this woman, I'm not kidding, Saif, was telling a story to her husband and the other couple
about
how thoroughly that husband had dicked her down the night before.
No.
Swear to God.
No.
I woke up and I was like, was that even real life? I mean, I don't know where, it was the best I've ever had.
She's last saying night this.
It was fucking crazy. I was like, and then she went on and on about it. Like, we decided they were probably swinging. They must have been. It must have been groups. Yeah.
Well, now, was that her husband or was that the other guy?
It's a great point.
But here, and then how did they get to Tom Hanks?
I don't. You know, who I would love a good dicking from? The guy from Bosom Buddies. That's how they got there. Saif,
the guy that later on went on to be a supporting cast member on Newhart?
Who's that?
I forgot his name, but the other bosom buddy guy on Newhart. Yeah,
I did not know that. Saif, let me give you a list of trips that I don't foresee Saifa Sounds taking in the future.
Oh no!
I'm gonna start here. Cuba.
Really? Why not? I absolutely want to go to Cuba.
Okay.
Cuba.
please, Saif, since you are Latino. Please say Cuba.
Cuba. Si. Cubano.
Okay. We stayed at an Airbnb. We were told that's the move.
Okay. I would not do that.
You would never stay in an Airbnb, period.
I hate Airbnbs. I'm not staying in an Airbnb ever again.
You have before, you're never doing it again.
Correct.
And that's even in America, like in Austin, you don't want to do it.
Never.
Okay.
I'm a hotel kind of guy.
I would like to hear more about that, but we'll come back.
Well, we have a podcast where we can talk about this thoroughly.
So we get to the Airbnb. Now, here's the thing about Cuba that makes it interesting, of course, is that all of the hotels are owned by the government. So if you want to give money to the people and not the government, then you go to Airbnb and you can give money directly to a person. We were told everyone's really nice. It's great, blah, blah, blah. So we show up to the place. The lady's there. She greets us. One thing that's very misleading about Airbnb, at least these days, I never had this experience prior because I never did it in a foreign country before. They're translating all the emails being sent back and forth.
Airbnb is?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So when I tell you this woman spoke, what's the opposite of saying someone speaks a little bit of English? Like, what is it to say they speak zero, not a word
Right. Nothing.
Nothing. And Sife, here was the part that got me mad. Before everyone thinks I'm xenophobic or anything like that, just be clear. I was speaking Spanish constantly. Okay. Bad. Nasty accent, but I'm speaking.
Okay.
Not only did she not have one word of English.
Hello.
I'd never heard a hello.
Wow.
But not only was there not one word of English, for some reason, she was the only person I interacted with who didn't understand any of my Spanish. So, like, listen, don't get me wrong. It's bad. I'm sure we have some on video, but I would be like, you know, hola, queremos ir a la un restaurante. Tal vez tú sabes un restaurante que podemos almorzar, whatever.
That you have all the words right, but your pronunciation is just
it's el gringo. Yeah, you relate to this. It's very gringo.
But you got the words though. The words are there, and she didn't understand any of it.
She would look at me just like, what? And I'd be like, okay, I get it. My Spanish is bad. How do you not understand anything I'm trying to say?
Right.
And which, by the way, the whole experience is interesting because it just gives you such a great perspective on what people are dealing with in this country every day when Americans don't speak anything to anyone. What's that stuff?
I'm such an idiot. I remember reading an article. All Airbnb owners in Cuba are deaf. That's 100% true. They're all deaf. That's how they...
Natalie, Sife just told us a very interesting thing. He figured out what happened at the Airbnb. He said, did you know that 100% of the Airbnb owners in Cuba are deaf? Yeah, 100%. So. I know she wasn't deaf. Natalie's disputing it. She's like, no, she wasn't deaf. She could hear what you were saying. Oh, right. I did accidentally tell her when I was trying to tell her that we were going bike riding at 10 in the morning. She her face like completely exploded because she thought I was
going dick riding at 10 in the morning.
No, she thought I was going bike riding for 10 hours. I was like, no, at 10 hours. De la mañana. So that part was a little frustrating.
Yeah. Like, did she live there?
No, she didn't live there, but she showed up a lot. Like I would say one notch too much.
Uh-huh.
And again, and I know this sounds shitty, but like I probably wouldn't have minded her popping up randomly if we could communicate at all.
Right.
Like there would have been some value to us hanging out. But one day that we were there, she was there the entire day, like just doing putzing around the house.
Inside?
Inside.
What?
I know. It was all very strange. On the first day, we saw a cockroach in the house. Sife, I eventually killed this cockroach.
Yeah.
I caught him later. Mm. It was like murdering a mammal. That's how big it was.
Oh, God.
It was so fucking gigantic. Right. Also, you're the day we got there, you know, I read a lot of reviews to this Airbnb. No one said there's no electricity very often, but we lost electricity the first 3 days we were there. I don't know if you're aware of Cuba in August. It's not exactly muy frío. So that wasn't great.
Yeah.
That being said, our trip was amazing. The Airbnb experiences we did were awesome.
They suggest like things to do.
Yeah, like we did one that was a driver who takes you to this beach town a couple hours away.
Ooh.
He was fantastic. He had so much information. He studied English, spoke perfectly, explained so much to us.
Yeah.
Literally looked like he walked out of Central Casting for like Mambo Kings. Like he looked like 93 Banderas. I'm not even kidding. And he was awesome. His name was Cesar. I couldn't recommend him anymore if you're going to Cuba for an experience.
Did he stay there while you were at the beach town or he comes back at a certain time?
Nah, so he would take, that's what was great about him. He talked in the car ride a lot, lots of information. But then when we'd get to the town, he would, like to the beach, I should say, he would leave and be like, enjoy yourself. I'll be up by the car. I'll catch you in 2 hours.
Like, yeah, he would stay and wait.
He'd stay and wait, but he wouldn't like.
So now, you hired him for the day almost, or half the day.
Yeah. And it was us and three other people.
Wait, who's the three other people? Were you on vacation with other people?
No. This was part of the Airbnb experience.
Oh, I get it. What kind of car was it?
Like, you know, a 56 Chevrolet or something.
All you fit in there?
Yeah, two sat up front with him and three in the back. Worked out perfect.
A stranger.
Yeah, it worked out perfect when we found out later that one of them tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
So now, stuff I want to ask you. I want to ask you something.
They brought tests to Cuba.
I guess.
Their own tests, yeah.
I guess. So. They were a very nice couple, by the way. Yeah. I'm sorry. I also want to ask you, what does this look like?
Looks like a lot of cash. Bands that make a dance.
Why do you think I would have four racks, what looks like four racks of cash?
You forgot to exchange it.
No. Not so much forgot to exchange it.
It's not worth that much. A cool souvenir. That's like $5.
No, it's not $5, sadly. I think each one of these racks is $100.
$100, okay.
Oh no, it's $500.
$500.
Each one's $500. This is
Cuban money?
This is 100 fives. Yeah.
Oh.
And we got there and exchanged money, and Natalie exchanged a lot of money. And then I kind of had the feeling like this was probably enough, but I felt like I wasn't being a man if I didn't also exchange some money. So I also exchanged money. So I had some.
Yeah. Cash in the pocket.
Here's the thing. They would have taken our US dollars everywhere because the US dollars has this thing called value.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas the Cuban peso, not so much.
Right.
And when we got back to the airport to be like, hey, we'll exchange it back. We'll take a loss on it, but whatever. We'll just exchange it back. They don't exchange their own money.
Oh, they don't take it back.
Can't take it back. Now we're in the airport. Now we're in the airport with $1,500 worth of Cuban pesos.
Yeah.
You think, well, at the very least, let me sit down and enjoy a Coke and a sandwich at the airport. They don't accept Cuban money or even a sandwich at the airport. So
at the airport, there's no dice.
Nope. They say, oh, you want a soda? Give us your credit card. We'll charge you euros. So if anyone is taking a trip to Cuba, we can offer a very favorable rate. To bring some Cuban. And by the way, the Cuban pesos are worth something there. It's just they're not worth nearly as much as dollars.
I'm not good with money. I don't understand what that means.
Before we move on to some other things, I just also want to say the trip was fantastic.
Pictures look nice. Videos look nice.
The Cuban people, thank you. The Cuban people were fantastic. Everyone was.
How's the food?
Hit or miss.
Hit or miss.
Hit or miss.
Really? Yeah. I love Cuban food.
I have a question. Where have you eaten that Cuban food?
Miami.
You've had it in Miami. Jersey. In New Jersey.
Yeah. There's a lot of Cubans in New Jersey.
Absolutely. And making amazing Cuban food with the resources of America to cook said Cuban food. So the hard part is here. Let me tell you the number one best thing they have at every single Cuban restaurant. You know what it's called?
Steak.
They don't have it.
They don't have steak?
No. Whatever the best thing is on the menu, they don't have it. Just we'll have the ropa vieja. Don't have that. Okay. Like, you better look at the menu and whatever you want third most, order that. Because the first two, they're not having it. So we're really enjoying our trip. We did a night of Afro-Cuban cuisine. It was fantastic. Went to this woman's house.
Is this an Airbnb experience?
That's right.
You went to a stranger's house. You went to one. You were at staying at one stranger's house. Then you go to another stranger's house.
Yes. Okay. But with a guide who explains to you sort of the experience and what you're going to do. We actually did a ritual cleansing when we got there.
Some Santeria shit.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Santeria. So that was amazing. We love the Afro-Cuban experience. We love the beach trip. We did a bike tour with my man Abdiel. That was fantastic. Rode all around Cuba, Havana. And then on Friday night,
the swingers came around, baby. Here we go. Upside down pineapples. Here we go.
I left Natalie alone for a little bit. I went up. I was not feeling good because I'm pretty sure I had COVID. Although I keep testing negative, I can't see how it's not COVID. But I went and rested. And then Natalie walks into the bedroom and looks like she's seen a ghost. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? She was like, I was standing outside. So like on our house, between the main level and the upstairs bedroom, you walk outside to get there. And you can look down the stairs and see like the next door neighbors below. Like you can see all kinds of shit below you. She's like, so I was looking down there. And I heard like all kinds of like cool music sounding and like drums. And so I decided to like take my camera out and film and see what was happening. And it looked like it was like a religious ceremony or something. And then I saw a bird and the bird was struggling to get away. A pigeon. And then they grabbed the pigeon and they broke its neck. They sacrificed a pigeon, two pigeons.
Aguanile.
So at that point, it was a few hours after that she said to me, I think we've had enough of the Airbnb. So we hit up her friend Molly and we said, Molly.
Who's Molly?
Molly is Natalie's best friend back. She's in the States.
Okay.
Oh, because our internet's terrible. So we're like, Molly, where's the nicest hotel in Havana? Give us the fucking...
Where did Michael Corleone stay? That's where I want to go.
We actually went nicer than that because the gangsters used to stay at the Hotel Nacional. That's where they used to stay. We went to the Grand Hotel Manzana Kempinski.
Yeah.
You ever been to a Kempinski before?
Never. I don't think so. Not that I know of.
I had neither. They're a famous rich chain. So we left the next morning
Were you scheduled to stay there longer?
Yes.
And how did you get out of that contract?
Well, get out of it. I paid for both.
Okay, there we go.
I'm sure I just double paid. But I said, let's just do it. We're fucking adults and it's our vacation. And we spent the last 24 hours, when I tell you, in the lap of luxury.
See, now we're talking. Now we're talking the Sife game.
And for the record, listen, I admit it. I know who I am. I need nice stuff. This was too much. We should have stayed in the lap of luxury, spent our days experiencing the days that we, you know, with the people and seeing the people and being a part of it. And then at night, go back to a gorgeous, I mean, gorgeous hotel. I don't know why we had to go full on.
I personally do not understand the Airbnb shit at all. I mean, there's some really nice Airbnbs.
Okay.
I stayed in one when I did a comedy fest in Idaho.
Okay.
And I didn't want to stay at the crappy hotel. I got an Airbnb. Two other comics stayed in there. They were cool. Like a 3-bedroom joint. And then it was fine. It was a nice house. But then there's complaints afterwards. Like, oh, he was a nice tenant, but he broke one of the spoons and he didn't take out the garbage. I was like, all right, the spoon broke. My bad. I will gladly pay for another wooden spoon. But I'm throwing out the garbage. Isn't there a cleaning fee attached to the Airbnb situation?
There's a big one. There's a big
one.
Fee. Yeah.
I want the exact treatment as a hotel, but I want more space or in a different area or, you know, other couples or people are staying. I don't know your fucking trash schedule.
No, it's Sife. I am with you.
Fuck out of here.
That part of Airbnbs is so crazy to me that you get a house for a weekend and they have the instructions of like the trash comes on Monday morning. So make sure it's outside.
You got somebody pick up the trash.
So, I mean, on that. So, by the way, shout out to the lady who would never leave our Airbnb. We didn't have to touch any trash. It was overall great. I got some dope records.
I saw you going record shopping. That was dope.
Yo, Sife, how does it say? This is so crazy. It's like record store. This is one of the best record stores in Havana. Okay. the first one that was listed as one of the best record stores. We walk into this room. I think it was called Kiyonosha. And it's like a Japanese sounding name. We walked in and they're selling all this stuff. Nothing close to records. They're selling like tools and like junk. And so, you know, someone's like, hey, ¿qué te quieres? And I was like, discos. And he's like, Madre, discos. And the guy's like, come here. And I walk behind him and I go behind into this little room where he has just one dirty pile of vinyl. That's the whole, listen, by the way, I'm here for it. That's an amazing experience. I just can't believe that on Google, that's like, this is a great store. I was just like, it wasn't what I expected. I was like, oh, why don't you just say, yo, it's my man just selling some records. So then we went to the other spot.
Wait, was there anything good in that pile?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you when I listen to him. You know what it's like when you're digging in some place and you don't know what anything is. You're guessing based on like year, look.
Covers.
Like I was just guessing on shit. Like, come on, look, this mixed race ass group, you know, something's good coming out of this.
Yeah, but okay. Oh, yeah. You're looking for samples for real late too.
Yeah, I'm just looking for shit. Look at the, come on. You know, this has fire. That was the first store. The other place was called Chupitas. And we went to that store. Again, we go up to the door. There's nothingness. Like, a lot of the homes there are just open. Like, you can just step inside to an apartment complex. Like you could just open a door and walk in. And we walk in and go to the second floor and look around. It's pretty filthy up there. There's nothing happening. Roaches. Like, it's just kind of, like, scary up there. And then I see a door, though, and we're about to walk out, and this woman looks down. I decided to knock on the door. It said record shop. So yeah. I knocked on the door. The second I knock on the door, dog starts barking. So I'm like, and the woman looks down from the window and gives us, like, hey, 1 second, I'll be right down. So she comes down and opens the door for us and lets us into her store, which is her kitchen. Unlike the other spot, though, her shit was on point. Like, it was organized. She had 45s over here. She had LPs over here. But literally, the first box of 45s I looked through was next to like her dish dryer. And I bought a bunch of shit from her. Wish I'd bought more.
Yeah. You could have used all that fucking peso.
I literally could have bought out basically everything she had on 45.
Was there anything good?
Oh, I mean, I just started listening to it now. It's, again, I don't know any of it. I know nothing about Cuban jazz. I just am guessing based on names.
So there was nothing you knew. You just wanted to grab some shit.
And you got the vibe from being in Cuba that when you hear music, it's all, any old Cuban jazz shit you hear is pretty fire. So I'm just like, let me just buy shit and see what we find. Although the one at the end, she was like, let me give you one more, because we gave her extra money. She was like, let me give you one more as a gift. And I was like, okay. And she was like, ¿sabes Guantanamera? We're like, yeah. So she gave us by the way, I listened to it, Natalie. It's a dope version of Guantanamera. So shout out to Jacqueline, who owns Chupitas.
Does she understand your Spanish?
She understood it better than the lady at Airbnb for some reason. Like, we were at least able for me to be like, ask her, what kind of music is this? Is this person famous?
I don't know what it is about these two judías, but they're not leaving. I'm doing the whole act where I don't understand a word they're saying. I turned off all the electricity and I'm trying, because what they do is they get you to pay for a week, but they get you to leave within 3 days and you still got to pay it out. So she's like, well, what the fuck are we going to do? She's like, pigeons? Yeah, it's time to go to pigeons. You've been here 4 or 5 days already.
So if you are a genius, that is what happened. She was like, if I show up every day for no reason, leave a cockroach, turn off the electricity, eventually they'll leave.
Yeah, they'll leave.
And when that didn't work, she went, you know what? Break out the fake pigeon. It was fake.
Wuchito.
But I really do. It's a really interesting cultural experience. The people there, man, they've been fucked by everybody, bro. They're fucked by the Cuban government. They've been fucked by the U.S. government. Like, nice. They've just been fucked over so many times. I know. It's like everywhere.
Real quick, September 15th, your boy's heading out to D.C., Rosenberg's hometown. Ooh. D.C. Improv, Chemistry Set Live, September 15th with my boy, Will Sylvan. Come check it out, baby.
Where are you doing it?
DC Improv.
DC Improv.
Love the DC Improv. Love those guys and gals. Gal, for gal, Allison, and the guy, Antoine. So glamping is a scam.
Oh, yeah.
Glamping is a scam.
Oh, please tell us.
What is glamping? What is this?
Glamorous camping is called glamping.
We head up to Maine.
Okay.
We head up to Maine, USA. Lobster rolls. Delish.
Great.
But here's the problem. Why are they so fucking expensive?
It's what are they charging for a lobster roll in Maine right
the
now?
The one, the first spot I went to, the jumbo one was $24.99. No, sorry. Regular one was $24.99. Jumbo one, $29.99. The next day, because they didn't have the one with the hot butter. So we had to get it again the next day. Jumbo one, $36.99.
Get the fuck out of here. You know how much a lobster roll is in Cuba?
How much?
They don't have it.
But I'm literally watching the first spot we went to. I'm literally watching the boat pull up.
Right.
Pulls out these cages filled with lobster. When you go to the register, there's just tanks of lobsters and they grab it. What do you want? Two lobster rolls. They grab the lobster, put it in a bucket, send it in the back to get a hot bath. You know what I mean? And I'm like, why is it so expensive if you're literally pulling? I just saw the guy pull it out the water and hand it to you.
Right. And you've got tons of them. What is it about COVID? Shit. But why did COVID affect the fucking prices of lobster rolls?
It's all tourist shit. Because people think lobster is expensive for some reason. They make us think lobster is that expensive.
We should restart the whole thing. These fucking disgusting, huge cockroaches of the ocean.
Here's what's going to happen. It's a scam. Lobster's a scam from day one.
It's just
because lobster was fucking peasant food. And somebody threw some hot butter on it. And they were like, no, this is a delicacy. It's fucking bullshit. But we need, you know how there's all these companies now where they're like Warby Parker. They're like, glasses really only cost 40 cents to make. You're getting gypped by all these glasses people. You can buy them online for $100 for three pairs or whatever. Or there's like these watch companies that are like, watches are only $40 to make. Why are you paying that $10,000? We need that guy. We need Dollar Shave Club of lobster.
Wow. Finally, Sife, after all these years knowing you, you come with an invention that makes sense.
We need the lobster
Dollar Shave Club of lobsters.
Because I know you guys are bullshitting us. Anyway. So
$36.99,
and it was delicious.
Wait, hold on. Did the kids get them?
No. Okay. Mac and cheese all day. All day. That's all they eat is mac and cheese. So glamping is this: we go to this nice resort, like a camping resort. Like the lodge is really nice.
Okay.
The main area.
Right.
The first night I get there, we were tired, so we just got food from there. Food was really good. Burger was really good. But you go to a tent, but it's a huge tent. It's like, a big bed, and there's also bunk beds for the kids. There's a bathroom. There's a shower. Shower's one of those showers with no fucking doors or a curtain, which I hate, but whatever.
I'm not a fan.
There's a separate room with a toilet, which is way too close to everything. There's no AC. There's no TV. There's a ceiling fan, there's lights, there's electricity. I'm like, if you're going to have lights and electricity, why aren't we just doing AC? There's Wi-Fi.
There's Wi-Fi?
There's Wi-Fi. You go outside and there's these big poles with like some kind of device on top. It's like, is that a camera or is that like the Wi-Fi?
What the fuck?
My thing is
you're staying inside.
Yes. The material is tent material, but it's huge. It's like a house. So I'm like, why not? Why are we not just staying in a structure? What is the point of this? If you're not staying in a tent, in a sleeping bag, actually camping, what is the point of this thing that we're in? Why is it tent material? And like, I'm trying to ask like all these in-law family members. And I'm like, they're like, oh, this is great. We're glamping. And then like the kids are just in the pool every day. So I'm like, we could have just stayed at a DoubleTree. Like if you're just going, you're not even going in the lake to swim. You're swimming in a heated pool. Why are we staying in a tent then?
Yo,
And people are like, nah, this is so, it's so nice. Like, you know
what they
little...
Do you know what they charge you?
No, I didn't even look. I didn't look at the price. I just, whatever. It's just for the kids. You know what I mean? But like, we have like little bonfire at night. Then listen, man, I respect my in-law family and all that shit. I respect.
Right.
But there's some looseness with the kids, man.
What? Go ahead. Keep going. I want to hear more.
There's one night, the first night.
Let me tell you something right now. Even though I don't have children yet, I have been around children for so long. I've been an uncle for 16, 15. I love judging parenting as if I was a parent.
Looseness with the kids.
I love judging parents' looseness.
In-laws, a lot of in-laws, family, and then like friends, the people I don't even know, friends of some of the in-laws.
Okay.
So there's like 3, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's like 13 kids running around from like 13 to 3 and all in that range. The first night they're doing, there's a fire and they're going to do s'mores, which I don't know the proper way to do s'mores. Like, do you melt the chocolate? Is there like a pan? Is how do you organize it?
I believe the proper way to do it is all you got to do is heat the marshmallow, and if it's hot enough, it melts the chocolate on the graham cracker.
So you have the graham cracker with the chocolate.
Correct.
You heat up the marshmallow, place it on the chocolate, put another graham cracker, let it sit.
You got to skip. Don't skip the part where you're trying to get the fucking stick out of it and you can't, and it's you're losing half the marshmallow. It's sticking to your hands and it's breaking the graham cracker off. Okay, don't skip that part.
Well, is that like a regular stick? Because they had
specific s'more stick.
Metal.
Oh, that makes it easier.
Like almost like a fork with two prongs.
Oh, that's easier. Okay.
That extent. Okay. Yeah. But there's 7-year-olds running around a very dim lit area. Too close to the fire.
With
spears.
No. Hot spears that will cut through your skin like butter.
Hot spears. And they're like, running. And I'm like, what? My anxiety, I can't handle this. Like, someone's going to get stabbed or burnt or fuck. And there was a couple burnings.
There were.
And then like, I'm like, okay, there's forest fire, stabbings, fucking mutilation. You know what I mean? It was craziness. Craziness.
And I'm like, how'd you handle your kids? Did you just like help them do it and then say, okay, now we put it down?
I was like, my job is to keep an eye on my two. That's my job.
Yep.
Keep and my daughter, when she gets around her little cousins, she don't want to hear shit from me. I had to grip her up a couple of times. Grip. Oh. It's just a rare instance that I have to do that. Where I go, listen, you're Filipino. My kids are Filipino. That's it.
Really?
I'm barely Puerto Rican.
Right. But their mom's she's actually Filipino.
The family is Filipino. They're raised by, you know, they stay at the grandparents. They're at their grandparents' house right now. They're Filipino.
Right.
And I gave her a grip up. To let her know
a Puerto Rican grip up.
There's some Puerto Rican blood in here. Like, you gotta chill out.
What'd you say to her? Do you give her the little under your breath?
I said, listen. Hey, yeah, hey, I said, always like no lips moving. Like, listen, when I call you, you come over here. Like, don't. She'll just straight ignore me. Daddy, you're hurting me. Yeah. You come over when I call. Sorry, daddy. I'm like, listen, I'm just like, the kids don't get adult logic. It is fun. I'm just trying to keep you safe. That bitch got a hot spear close to your neck.
That is crazy. How many days do you do this for?
Then they're like, it was 4 days in that part. And then they're like running to each other's tents. And like we were all in the one little area, but there was other people in that area. There wasn't like, listen, if I ever want to become a fucking kidnapper, I'm going glamping. Make sure, is this place kid friendly? Oh, absolutely. It's family friendly. Do you have a lot of kids coming?
No, none, just me.
I got a lot going though. Like, so can I go to so-and-so's tent? And I'm like, it's pitch black. I don't even know if they're going to the right tent. They all look the same. Oh, and this is my tent.
How many people, like, did the glamping place hold? Like, it wasn't just your family?
No, no, it was huge. We were in the C section. But there was like strangers everywhere, too. Yeah. 100%. 100%. All the whites.
I would have rather been hanging out with the cockroaches in my Airbnb in Cuba.
Ah, man, it was rough, bro. But then this whole, this, you glamping people, bravo. Bravo to you capitalistic scam artists, man. It is, what are we doing with the fucking, just because the material that this house is made of is waterproof? Okay. All right. Then we went over to Bar Harbor.
Okay. Oh, that's Bar like, Harbor. I've heard of that.
That's the town. Okay. Very nice. Not a lot of black people, but there was still more black people than done. There was a lot of Asian, a lot of Indian people, but like this one ice cream shop we went to was all black people working there.
Okay.
And it's cash only. And I was like, I walked up to the guys like, listen, I'm going to treat everyone to ice cream. But there's like 15 people here. Like, I'm going to treat them. Just get everybody's order. I'm going to pay.
Wait, you do this for strangers or do your group?
No, the group.
Okay.
The group. And then.
I got it.
And then, you know, I'm like, oh, cash only? He's like, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, I gave him a look like, I know what's up. He's like, yeah, you know what's up. You know what I mean? Like, get all these white people money. We not claiming none of this shit.
Yeah.
Just buying Costco ice cream tubs, sticking it in this cooler. I got you. But yeah, Bar Harbor's really nice.
Okay.
Then we went to Portland, Maine, like, you know, more the city. It was really nice, but the glamping shit, man.
Saif, I'll tell you one thing. I don't ever want to go glamping.
Do you like going camping?
Here's
the parts I like. Conversation, like, the first day is very rough for me because I have to get out of comedian mode. I have to get out of entertainment mode. I have to bear all the, do you know, oh, so you know Jay-Z? Like, I got to get rid of all that first day shit. You know what I mean? I like the fire, sitting around talking shit.
Oh, really?
I like it, but it takes me a day or two to get into it. When we start going into, like, movie talk, trivia, like, I'm in.
Okay.
But, yeah, this whole, like, this Ted shit, like, they, bravo, bravo.
The bravo to the glamping industry.
Yeah.
What else happened over the last week when we were on vacation week? Was there anything you were like, we need to discuss this when we get back?
Nothing. I don't know anything that happened. Anything hip hop wise?
Billy June, of course. And I heard that the Breakfast Club is breaking up.
Yeah, I saw that Angela Yee. Oh, I got a lot of Google alerts. Because, you know, I got a Google alert on my name.
Of course you do.
So I got a lot of Google alerts because everybody was saying Angela Yee started with me. So that, thank you, Angela Yee. Appreciate that. Getting the love on the Googles.
And by the way, a lot of people don't know this. Angela Yee was courted to be the third member of Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg.
That's right.
How different history could have been.
Talk about literally like all the shit on TikTok when you watch these people talking about parallel universes and multiverse and all that shit. Angela Yee would have been Kay Fox if she would have took the job.
That's right.
So what would have been the Breakfast Club then?
Well, more importantly, let's talk about how much better Angela Yee's pockets are because she didn't do that. Because
she did not. She made the right move. Yeah.
I mean, because the fact of the matter is that I think she would have done a great job on our show. And before Angela and I developed an awkward, not good relationship, at that time, we had a great relationship. We were like buddies, thanks to Saif. Her and I would like go hang out at Saif's comedy shows.
Yeah.
And we were very cool. And Saif was obviously very close with her. So it's a very interesting thought. But then once Charlamagne returned to the market, I kind of knew whatever he did was going to make a splash in some way. Cause that was his, he was part of that Wendy Williams tree of like impact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, I think it worked out for her well.
Very well.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But by the way, the announcement was still so fugazi. Again, if you were to go back to like our conversation about what we would have to do to get the same level of attention that Deez and Mero got.
Yeah.
All Angela tweeted was like, the Breakfast Club, as you know, it will never be the same. Then it's like in 2 months, she's leaving to do a syndicated show. Like it wasn't even really. And they like, I didn't hear it, but they gave her like a nice, like, congratulations.
Yeah.
We're going to, it wasn't even like this big explosion at all. and yet it again went crazy. But I announced over the last week that while I was in Habana, I was the victim of an alligator attack, and I didn't even get one retweet. No one even said a word.
No one gives a fuck.
I saw there's a new Nicki Minaj single.
Oh, let me tell you something. As to continue on with our Flexisms training program.
Okay.
Man, I'm sitting, I can't sleep. I'm in Maine. And I guess I'm scrolling across and I get to Flex's page, and it's just a reel-to-reel machine, a video of a reel-to-reel machine playing. And it was like at least 40 minutes of Flex doing his new Thursday exclusive thing that he does.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I listened to the whole thing, Sife. You sent it. I listened to the whole thing.
I put it in the notes, right? Like in our shared notes. Just the ultimate Flexisms all in one. First of all, he's playing, he's doing this shit where his claim is I'm playing exclusives before they go on the DSPs, which I assume is digital streaming platform.
Correct.
I got it before Apple. I got it before Spotify, before Tidal, before this, before that, before YouTube. I'm playing it first. Then he's shouting out label guys. Yo, Big D, I know you don't want me to play this first. You was on the phone with me, but I got to play it. Apple, relax. Apple, you talking about the radio ain't hot no more. Why are you telling labels not to give me exclusives? If I'm not hot, what does it matter? I'm like, ooh, this is good. It's like 4 a.m. I'm listening to this. I'm in. Rock Nation, we good now. I mean, I know Meek Mill ain't down with y'all no more, but I'm like, oh, Meek Mill's not down with Rock Nation no more? Oh, let me check this out. I was like finding news.
This is like just a new angle for him to be motivated and fresh.
But this is what I'm telling you. This is what I'm telling you. Conway called him out and put some, he always likes a flame. You know, everyone settles into some shit and then it takes something to happen to throw that flame up or whatever. Conway called him out. They did the beef. He does a freestyle for Flex. He's playing it. He's done. Pete Rock jumps in. Pete Rock gets deaded. But Flex has still got the flame going.
Right.
So now I see Flex. Joel Santana.
You've got 1 week.
I challenge you. Do you accept the challenge? Now, in my mind, knowing Flex, he's already spoken to Joel Santana.
Of course.
This is between us, Juan Eppers. Don't, you know what I mean? Dude, you're seeing a little behind the curtain. He's already spoken to Joel's.
Yep.
Joel's, I'm in. Here comes Vince McMahon. Do you accept the challenge? I'm giving you 1 week. Blah, blah, blah. Fabulous. I'm giving you 1 week. So this week he challenges Jadakiss and Swiss Beatz, but the Locks gave him a record already. Ah, you trying to get ahead of me, Locks. Before I challenge you, you giving me something. And this shit is hot, which it was hot. Which it was hot. You ain't getting ahead of me, Locks. I'm still going to call you out, Jadakiss. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, the Locks had a record. They want to give Flex an exclusive. But they're like, yo, we know you're doing this challenge thing, but we already have this record. We want you to play it. All right, so give it to me. Then I'm going to act like you try to beat me to the punch, and I'm still going to call out Jadakiss and blah, blah, blah. And then so Flex is ill. So he's playing all exclusives before they go on the streaming platform, which I guess is now his enemy to radio or whatever. So he plays a Kaya Baby over an old school beat. Then he plays WizKid Essence, but it has like the Rakim, you know, I got soul beat. Somebody did a blend. So it fits in what he's doing, but it's a hit.
Right.
Then he plays the Locks. I challenge you. Jadakiss, Fabulous. Oh, he played the new Fab, but he challenged Fab. But I'm listening to all his talk. Khaled, I gave you a pass. Republic Records, I'm playing this Nicki record. You can't stop me. Nicki, we in a good place. We in a good place, Nicki, but I got to play it. Davey D, I'm going to call you back. Republic Records, you try to shut me down. Leor, where you at? I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But like, I'm like, this is big for him. Flex is on some shit, man. That he made me like, the Fab record was dope. The Lox record was dope. I was in. I was listening.
God, he's so good at motivating himself still all these years later.
He's the best. The king.
What did you think of Nicki's flip of the...
I didn't hear it. What'd she do?
I'll reserve comment and here let you play it for you.
I can ride it while you slipping and sliding. I can do all them little tricks and keep the dick up inside it. You can smack it, you can grip it, you can go down and kiss it. And every time he leave me alone, he always tell me he miss it. He wanna
I love it. I love it on first listen.
It's an interesting flip of Super Freak.
Yeah.
I don't know who did it, but I guess my thing is always with Nicki. Like, if I just feel like, are you still pushing to like try to do new things, or are you just sort of like cool being in the exact same, like she's done that record before.
Yeah. And so have a lot of other people, the City Girls and fucking.
Yeah. That's just like, you know, like for someone who is supposed to be in the conversation of the best MCs in the game and like lives on that space, you got to push when you put out music. See, she's an interesting one too, though, because her fan base is so committed that it's actually misleading for you about how impactful your records are. It's hard to even tell because your people are going to run up your numbers every single time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's hitting.
It doesn't necessarily mean what? If you got the fans and the numbers, what are we doing all of this for? You're doing this to gain fans and get the numbers up. So what? She has it built in. So because it's built in, it's not real. It's not good. Like, I don't know. Like,
that's a good point.
You're saying that she's not talking to non-fans, but they're non-fans. So what do they matter?
Right. It's a great point. By the way,
her fans are going nuts.
The new Game album. Do you see Brittany Sky on the cover of the new Game album?
No. How's that?
It's just so random. It's Brittany is like, she's supposed to be doing his braids, I guess, is what the concept is. Shouts to Brittany. I'll tell you what, man, Game albums remind me of, like, I used to love Bill Simmons articles back in the day on ESPN.com. They were all, I know you won't appreciate this reference, but
Bill Simmons,
they were great articles, but I was always like, I want to be able to finish this on one trip to the bathroom. This is too long for me to finish. I now like need to make time to finish this later. Like, don't get me wrong. What you're saying is awesome. But could we have squeezed it into a shorter piece?
30 tracks. How many tracks? 22?
Bruh, 30.
Wow.
And there's one that's not showing up on Spotify, this one with Nipsey. But there's 30. And here's the funny thing about Game. So many of them are good, though. Like, so many of the songs have good shit on them. Like, he says cool shit. Yeah. Or
he's always good.
His beat selection's great. He references something that you're like, oh, shit, he brought that back. That's fire. Yeah. He has a whole part where he really spends time. He used Getaway, the Mobb Deep shit, but he also turned it into like a thing, a Mobb Deep kind of dedication to Prodigy, you know?
Love it.
He's got a song with ASAP Rocky, which you don't see every day. Right. He's got a Big Sean. He's got a Cam'ron, okay? He's got his big commercial joint with French and Tory Lanez. He's got
kind of like something I want to listen to.
Two with Kanye. Pusha, who sounds, listen, Pusha sounds incredible here.
Crutches. I dance hall, I blame Duddis. I don't smile, the chain blushes. In my Ukraine, there's no rushes. Kalashnikov, don't piss me off. Walk down with the special, turn your grizzly off. Memory off. Memory loss, put the fire out in a nigga attic, turn his chimney off. Simply boss the cross between God.
Fire.
Yeah.
And also he's someone who can have a push a verse and a Drake interlude on the same album. Here's the thing that's interesting to me about Game, though. I wonder how artists feel. When you give an artist your verse, do you care what happens with it? Like, not in other words, not with Game?
No.
Like, for example, there's a difference between getting a verse, a feature to someone who's doing a 13-track album. There are four features and you're one of them. He has 30 tracks and 40 features. You know what I'm saying? I wonder how that affects the people, like if they care at all. Like, damn, I didn't know I was going to be one of 40 fucking features on here.
Nah, I think with Game, it's like a just a given.
Here are the features. Ice-T, Kanye, Five-Eo, NBA Youngboy, YG, Ty Dolla $ign, Roddy Ricch, Jeremih, Pusha and 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne, Kanye, Dreezy and Chiller, Twista, Jeremih, French, Tory, Meek, Moneybag Yo, Rocky, Cam, Big Sean, Blueface, Rick Ross, Chris Brown, Chloe, and Cassie.
Kardashian?
No, no, no. Chloe Bailey. By the way, speaking of Kardashians, last thing I gotta say here. Have you seen pictures of Kim recently?
No, I mean, kinda.
She's at a point of so skinny that it's like, it's almost like she's playing a game to be like, how much can I fuck with these people? Like,
I mean, that's what she does.
I had people changing their bodies, getting surgeries to make their ass fatter, their tits bigger, their lips fuller.
Yep.
Now I'm off that. I eat nothing, which she's talked about, that she like barely eats. Mm. And little Sife, like we're talking about ribs in every picture.
I saw her when I was in LA. She came to Michelle Wolf's show. You know the thing about Kim Kardashian was fucked up? Super sweet.
I know.
She's a super sweet person. I want to hate, but.
No, no, no. Her presence in person is super nice. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, can we be real for a second? She's the most influential woman on the planet.
No, let's not be real.
Is she? Am I wrong? I think she impacts the psyche.
The zeitgeist.
And the zeitgeist and the acceptable looks. I don't think anyone affects it in the world more than Kim.
Yeah, it's a weird fucking phenomenon, this whole Kardashian shit.
It's crazy, bro. Like, it's.
But now you think she's in competition with her own sisters? Like the younger ones?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is.
Because they started smashing them.
Because Kylie's huge also.
Right.
It's Kylie and it's really Kylie and Kim.
What about who's the other one? Kendall? She's not as big?
Kendall's big, but she's in a different. She operates in a little bit of a different space. I don't think Kendall's had any significant work done. She was actually a model off top.
But Kim set it off. And now you're huge. And like that's your sister. But I wonder if like this little bitch ain't gonna fucking take me out.
I know.
Let me show you how to do this. Bam.
Anyways, also on a more important note for our audience, go check out the Danger Mouse Black Thought album. Super fucking dope.
I thought you were gonna say Kim and Pete broke up.
And Kim and Pete broke up.
Yeah, that has to be talked about.
I love the I love the album Danger Mouse from Black Thought. We're good friends.
It's a great album.
It's a great album. Black Thought's my friend.
Billy, did you hang out with Black Thought that time he invited you to?
No, we discussed that on the podcast.
Where was that again?
Newport Folk Festival.
Newport Folk Festival.
Newport, Rhode Island.
That's right.
Yeah. I went to Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels this week. It was one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
You say that about every concert you go to. Every
no,
time
but this was out. Like bucket list.
So how was the concert great?
Rage Against the Machine has not performed in 20 years. So
20 years since they performed together?
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, I'd like
to. And he had a torn Achilles tendon.
Who's he?
Zach De La Rocha.
By the way, I unfortunately have to call bullshit on you, Billy June, because they definitely played Rock the Bells in 08. It's 14 years ago.
Sorry. I knew it was a large number. Reunion tour.
So Billy, did you pull the number 20 out of your ass?
I thought someone said 20. I don't remember the number. Okay.
Fuck you.
Either way, it was an incredible concert. They were so good. And I was like, everyone that I knew that went beforehand were like, go early. It actually starts at 8 on the dot, unlike most concerts. And they're like, and they don't perform together because they have a ton of crossover songs. And then they didn't play the song. And I was like, oh, that's strange. And then
Rage has a ton of crossover songs. Rage.
Zach De La Rocha with Run the Jewels, like one of their biggest songs.
Well, I didn't know there were that many.
How many songs do they have?
There's two or three.
Two or three is a ton of crossover songs to you?
With the same artist who doesn't really do songs with people? Yeah. but they brought them out mid-set, and it was fucking amazing.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
They sold out five nights.
I saw Kendrick at the Barclays Center.
Credible?
Oh, man.
Did he disappear on stage?
I didn't see him disappear. He disappears?
Was that only one night? There's like this big thing where he just vanished off the stage.
Oh, well, maybe. I left with like a few songs left. My bad guy?
How was it?
It's fucking great, though. It was great. We left town the next day, so we had to get dipped, but I loved it.
On some inside WANAP meta shit.
Yeah.
We were very disappointed of our treatment at Rock the Bells, which we determined was our fault.
Yes.
Can we come together as a WANAP? Are you listening to me?
Sorry, no, I asked Natalie for the charger. Keep going.
Can we come together on a WANAP? Hello?
I'm still here.
What are
I'm
you just looking at? But the show's on video now.
Oh, I don't just need the charger.
You established you want video presence. Subscribe to us on YouTube, please.
Please. We,
get Emilio off my fucking back.
Yeah, Emilio on these fucking YouTube videos, for Christ's sake.
Can we come together as a one app movement? And what are you doing now?
Now I had to plug in the charger.
He's plugging in the charger.
I thought he was trying to suck his own dick.
Yo, Cypher's like Ron Burgundy. Every moment he's like, wait, and now what's happening? He's looking over somewhere again. All right, so can we come together? Yeah.
With our WANAP forces, you, me, Billy June.
Oof, big forces. What are we gonna do? I don't know. Fuck
with our up. With my constant last 2 months of explaining how Flex gets shit done.
Yes.
Can
what are
we
doing?
Invade.
Where are we invading?
The Nas Wu Tang concert / tour.
Done. Okay.
Let's get on that and figure out how to be a part of it.
Well, they have from Thursday, September 8th through Wednesday, September 14th. They have during that run, Camden, New Jersey, Hartford, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Newark, Virginia Beach.
Let's figure out a way to get on this now because we're already too late. We're already late. Hey, WANAP, man, listen, subscribe. Rate, press the 5 stars.
Those wonderful reviews and stars. Keep those coming.
Keep the stars coming. Subscribe to the YouTube. Spread the word. Join the Patreon. We love you. I'm sorry that I'm doing this all at the end. We should do this in the beginning. September 15th, catch me in D.C. at the D.C. Improv. Hit me up on my Instagram. And we'll catch you around.
I gotta go. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.